I wonder what Dane Zorko has got around the corner. He's the skipper and the champ from the Brisbane Lions. He's a nice part of our team around here on the Breakfast Club. He's getting ready for another big season. I'm sure he joins us on the line. Dane, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. Now, I saw a few of your teammates floating around in some golf circles last week. Were you venturing out onto the course as part of the PGA and the WPGA build-up?
No, I didn't. But there was a few of the boys that went out and had a look. And Daniel Rich, I think he won closest to the pin for anyway. Yeah, he went really well. Old teammate of mine, Luke Hodge, he actually put one into the... may as well have been in the car park. He was that wide. So. he went no good. But, Richie went really well. So the crowd got up and about for him and he told us all about it on Monday.
don't you have that competition amongst you guys where you have a tournament? And he's won it multiple times, hasn't he?
Yeah. We've got the jacket, the ivory jacket. I reckon he's won it 3 or 4 times. So, look, he knows. He just plays within his game. He knows his his distances and... he actually borrowed Jason Ackermanis' club. He didn't even bother bringing his own club for the event. That's how confident he was. So
arrogance.
He just said, 165, I'll take an 8-iron. That's what he was telling us. So he went well.
A little Bam Bam doing his thing. No surprise to see Hodge bugger it up too. He's never good under pressure, that fella. that was a given. How's your summer been? What have you been up to? Have you been have you been affected by COVID through training, or has it been pretty much full steam ahead?
No, we've had our little bit of setbacks at the club. Me personally, I've been all well and good, which has been great for me. But yeah, we've had a few players that have had the week off in isolation, and at the moment we've got all players on deck, which is really good. I think it's the first time this year, so today will be our first session where everyone's training. Obviously, those guys that have caught the virus will be modified to a certain degree, but. Everyone else is up and firing, which is nice.
Now, I need to ask you about Cam Rayner, because there's some stuff going out. The socials are active with Cam, and he's come back, and he's a different player. He's a new player. He's a better player. What can you see from Cam Rayner and his build-up to this season?
Well, I hope they're right. that'd be great for us. Look, Cam's taking it. He's obviously nearly be 12 months, I reckon. He'd probably be 11 months post-operation, so... he's tracking along really well. Obviously, slimmed down a lot, which is, hopefully he doesn't lose his power. I don't think he will. From what I've seen, he hasn't lost his power. But it was probably something he needed to do to get into the midfield and spend a lot more time in there. And we obviously value his explosiveness and his strength. So that'll be a huge part of our team success going forward. So he's done all those things. He looks really strong. Expecting a big year, I think. I touted him last year that he was going to have a monster year, and obviously had the setback, and fingers crossed he can go again, which would be really, really good for us as a team, because we really missed him last year, I thought, certainly in a few games.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'm interested, Dane, in the theming over the summer period, because obviously you've become a really good team. There's no question about that, but it's that whole thing about what you're doing in finals. Does that become something that you need to address, or is it just the evolution of a team that... improved quite dramatically, quite quickly, that you just weren't quite ready to be a team that's winning finals on a regular basis yet?
Well, we've certainly spoken about it and what happens when we get to those finals. And I thought last year we were probably coming into the final series playing some of the best football we have as a team. So it wasn't due to a lack of form. I think injuries at really important times to key players probably hurt us. Losing Dan McStay in the first quarter against Melbourne to that Sydney head knock probably threw the team out a little bit. And then the following week, losing Jared Berry to concussion in the first quarter, and then Jack Payne with concussion as well, probably threw us out a little bit as well. So we were in both of those games. So I think it's about going over and just picking up little one percenters out of those games that we can improve. And I think at times we probably, although we are an extremely, in my opinion, a selfless team and try and play best option football, there's probably moments late in that game where we probably could have not rushed and been a little bit more careful with the ball. So it's just fine-tuning those little things. But, obviously we want to perform a lot better in finals, and that's something that we're striving towards. And the coaches and the players are putting a lot of time and effort into, hopefully, if we get back to those positions, going one step further.
So the improvement, half mentioned Cam Rayner, who clearly makes you a better team. But outside of that, does the improvement come just from... the evolution of the team, the younger players coming through and becoming even better. I mean, I'm sure Lachie Neale can have a better year because he had so many setbacks last year. Is it just that general, everyone just be a little bit better sort of thing, or do you feel you have to play differently to be the premiers in 2022?
Well, I think you need to constantly evolve with the game, so there's no doubt we'll do different things with our game plan, but I think you hit the nail on the head there. If players can improve 1%, you know, that's a 22% increase throughout a game potentially, and we had a lot of players last year probably not play their best ever seasons.
Yep.
So if we can get those guys, you know, coming up a little bit, that would be superb. But at the same time, we had guys like Zach Bailey really have a breakout year, Devin Robertson, Jackson Pryor. We were able to play a lot of young kids as well and give them experience. So naturally, there's that competition for spots now, which is, you know, probably something that we've lacked. And before last year, we probably had a really good run of injuries. I reckon our injury list was probably between, you know, 1 to 3 players at any given time. Last year, probably crept up between about 5 and 10. And that puts a lot of strain on individuals to obviously constantly perform every week. And if we can get a little bit of luck on the injury side, obviously get Eric Kipwood back, you know, at some point during the season as well, which can hopefully give us a bit of a boost, and all those players lift 1%, then I think it'll certainly put us in a good position, and hopefully we can play some of that better football that we played for patches throughout the league, throughout the year last year, because I think between rounds 5 and 13, we had an average score of about 110 ourselves and kept the opposition to 50. So we know we can certainly do it.
Yeah.
It's about doing that for longer and sustaining that.
Now, I'm just going through your list at the moment on the internet, and it's a pretty good bloody list, I must admit.
It's a very even list,
isn't it? It's just a good list. Yeah. Like, it's quality all the way through. And you don't necessarily need megastars. You get a couple. But you just got a real good quality list all the way through. I am interested, though, in the acquisition you've got from a draft perspective in the off-season. Anyone sort of standing out from your perspective?
Yeah, I think we got extremely lucky in the draft this year. Not saying our players haven't been great in the past. I think we might have a couple of really good players on our hands. Just from what I've seen in the first few weeks that they've been there, Kyle Lohman and Darcy Wilmot. Have just got that little bit of spunk and that X factor about them, and they possess a lot of confidence, which, you know, I probably reckon in the past we've taken players probably a little bit within themselves and probably needed, you know, a couple of months to really fit in and, you know, feel a part of the group, whereas these two guys have just come in and just gone bang straight away and are doing some things on the field that, you know, make me feel really old. So that's not ideal. And James Tunstall, young boy from Perth, he just keeps getting better and better every session. He's learning so much and his skills are improving. And I don't think I'd be surprised if all three of them got their chance at AFL football this season, because what I'm seeing at the moment is really encouraging and exciting for our team as well. We've got the fourth youngest list in the AFL, which I don't think many people would know. So, you know, those guys add to that and bring a lot of class and, you know, enthusiasm as well, which is, you know, great for a young player.
That Darcy Wilmot, now he's the one that sort of was the star of the show at the draft, wasn't he? He was the one.
Pepsi Max boy.
Yeah, that's him.
I like Pepsi Max too, I must admit.
Is Pepsi his nickname already yet, or is that sort of...
Nah. You know, it's funny. You get those opportunities where you can name them certain things, and, you know, we've just gone with Wilmot. So, you know, it's incredible, really. It hasn't evolved, but, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, you're the leader of the pack. You can change this. Can you sort that out for us and get him, call him Max or Pepsi?
Yeah, well, he also says 100 a lot, 100. So 100's getting thrown around a bit as well.
Well, how do you find those guys that are coming in? Because clearly, we chatted to a young player from Sydney before, they're coming in with more confidence than ever before. You're captain of the footy club, you've been around a long time now. When they come in with that sort of level of confidence, how do you cope as a senior player?
Well, I think one thing that we've changed in the way we lead and our leadership style is we encourage people to be themselves. We encourage people to speak up and just act as normal as possible and fit in as soon as they can. And we encourage that. I can't remember a first-year player ever getting up in front of a group in his first session and talking. But Darcy did that straight away.
Right.
And it sort of raises a few eyebrows because you're like, oh, wow, look at that confidence. But it's just him. And we embrace that, and we love that. That's what he brings. He brings a lot of energy. He brings a lot of rawness. Like, things he says might not always be correct, but the fact that he's having a go, you know, we encourage that, and it helps grow his confidence. So it's, I think gone are the days where if a first year steps up and talks, the older boys look around and go, well, sit down, mate, well, you don't know anything. But it's definitely changed from that, and we embrace all our players to stand up, have a voice, and we coach from there, which I think is certainly been a method that's been working for us over the past 5 years under Fakes.
I wish it had been embraced 27 years ago. It's a story for another day. can I ask you about, we were talking earlier this morning about the law interpretation changes and this tightening of the holding the ball rule. Have you been given vision of what that looks like? Because we're a touch concerned about what constitutes a legal tackle. And, you know, if you've got someone around the waist, you've still got your arms free, you can pretty much, should be able to do what you like, effectively. Do you know a bit more about what this might look like?
No, I haven't. I'm a little bit like you guys. I've only just really picked it up and seen it off the internet, off the website. So I haven't, we haven't been told a lot more other than that. But in the next few weeks when we start playing practice matches, you know, umpires will come down. We'll hopefully get a couple of AFL umpires, whether they fly in or we use the Queensland ones.
Yeah.
And we'll have a good session with them and run through what exactly the interpretations are. So we're probably, you know, a couple of weeks away from getting a really good understanding of that. But it's certainly something that we'll start implementing in our match simulation stuff at training, you know, as early as today. So I think the coaches would have certainly seek more clarification on it. And we'll just roll with the punches from there.
Righto. Well, so when do games start from your perspective? Like the intra-club sort of match sim stuff, when is that starting next week or so?
Yeah, it'll probably be a little session today. We might just do two 10-minuters and then it'll ramp up to 3:15s, 4:15s, 4:20s as the weeks go on. So, we're getting close now and the boys are chomping at the bit. And it's just really good that we've got a really healthy list at the moment, barring Eric, and hopefully it can stay that way.
So, Dane, just to give us an insight into how fit are you now? Like, if you had to gauge, without having the bash and crash of playing games and whatever else and so much running going on there, are you, like, at the fittest you could be now, or is that a month's time, or when are you peaking to try and be at your absolute fittest?
Yeah, well, some boys, like a person like Hughie McCluggy, he's at a different level at the moment. He's looking extremely strong and fit and can run the house down. Him and Harry Sharp, I think it was the wonder kid last year who came onto our scene and ran an 8 minute 33K, and Hugh McCluggage has been able to stick with him for the majority of the running. I know Harry's had a little bit of a setback with his ankle, but that's still a fantastic effort and he still runs exceptional times. So Hughie's probably somewhere up around that. I'll probably be 3 weeks away, I reckon, from getting to a position where I'd feel comfortable running out again.
Yeah, okay.
And I think a lot of the bikes are probably in between that. Some would be a week away, some would be 2 weeks away. I think when you get into your match practice, it completely changes as well, though. Like, it's a completely different fitness. As you said, like, running around laps and running that, everyone just gets that done, and you can do it at a really high ability, but then you throw in the hits and the bumps and the collisions, and you just come back a bit, and it takes a few more weeks after that to get your, you know, your match fitness in. So probably come our first, pre-season game against an official club. I think we've got the Gold Coast end of February. I'd like to think I'd be at my absolute peak, and that's what we're aiming for. And I think the guys will be reaching their fitness levels in between those coming weeks leading up to that game.
Bit to look forward to, I reckon, with that squad again. And with you at the top of the tree, I reckon they're in pretty good hands, Dane. Nice to chat to you as always, mate. Can't wait to see what you and the Brisbane Lions can do in 2022. Good luck.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks again.
Go get him. Dane Zorko, the captain, the star from the Brisbane Lions, with us on a Wednesday morning on the Breakfast Club.